Greetings, everyone. Boy, it sure looked like I was going to get out of that one. But it didn't work quite that way, did it? I want to welcome everyone, and the greetings to all of you on the webcast or telephone or whichever connection. And greetings to all of you back there in yonder land in that distant room. We're glad to see your faces also. Well, we've already been directed toward what this day is on Leviticus chapter 23. Mr. Cody, you appreciate that, where he started us out on this. And then during the offering, we also had a very wonderful music. And certainly want to thank the for the special music today for the offering. Wednesday of this week, I opened the computer in the morning to find out what was going on, and my wife said, did you find very much in the computer? And I said, well, I had about that many emails, too many. And so I went through the emails to see what was going on, and I thought on that, in addition to this, we've already gone through several months of the problems that are in the cities and all of the love walks that have been going on. They call it love walks, but I thought if those are love walks, I would like to know what a real riot would look like in the cities. And so going through that, I realized also that in God's church, we are also being tried and tested in a lot of ways because there's so much going on around us to draw us in. And we, one of the reasons we are here today is to help us prevent from being drawn in to the ways of the world. And then in addition to that, on the computer, all of the forest fires that are going on. And I usually in the past have always thought about California. Now we find out it's many, many western states. And all the devastation that's going on. Small villages totally wiped out. And I thought, and this is happening in the United States of America. Hard to believe, but this is happening. But then on the other side, it's not difficult to believe when we see what has happened to our country and what has happened to the leadership, beginning with the Supreme Court. Then moving on down through the emails, it came to the many of the updates of brethren struggling with health problems. Brethren, where it brings us in that also, that we are part of that, that we are praying for one another. Because we don't know, do we, brethren? I used to say, we don't know today what tomorrow is going to bring. Well, I found out 2 years ago that it happens faster than that. One day at 4 o'clock, we were going in town to grab a sandwich. We left at 4 o'clock. At 4:15, we were two blocks from the place where we were going to get our sandwich. At 4:15, 15 minutes later, someone out of somewhere hit our car. We were turning east, and we ended up turning west. So in 15 minutes, things changed. It's not just we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or today. It can happen so suddenly, and we are not always prepared for it, are we? And so that was the email. That was the opening of the computer. And a lot of solemn things there, a lot of sober things, a lot of things of heart-wrenching conditions. But then later on in the afternoon, then I got some good news. I called Mr. Mike Arnold, and he said that their daughter-in-law, Jocelyn, had gave birth to her little baby girl. This was in the morning Wednesday, but I found out in the afternoon, and it was 6 pounds and 11 ounces. And mother and daughter are doing just fine. So good news. That was good news. But there's always a mixture of that in our lives, isn't there, brethren? And so what I would like to do, I want to take us on a walk. We're going to start out on a walk in our lives right here. We're going to start out on a walk. And in that walk, we're going to end up on what this day is. But we're going to go through some things in life about that. And we look around and we see the challenges and we see the disappointments and we see the things that just are heart-wrenching. And so, if you want, I'll give you the title of the sermon this morning. It's taken from Mr. Gary Antion. I was going through some of my files, and in that, this caught my attention. The subject of his sermon was Stick Like Glue. And so, brethren, in our walk today, we're going to find out how important it is to stick like glue. And so, we are committed in God's church, and we learn that when we first become familiar with the importance of baptism and just being committed. And here we are today, we are committed to keep this day wherever we have to be. Some are incarcerated in prisons, and some are at home because of age and health conditions. But God said this day is to be kept. How many of you here remember your day of your birth? That, in a sense, is a trick question. But yes, you do remember the day of your birth. That's the day when you were born anew in your baptism. Yes, you do remember that. That is the... not that the other is important, of which we had no say in it, but we did have a say in the new birth from above. We either said yes or we did not say yes in that. So yes, we do remember the day of our birth. And remember that we call our baptism. Remember the question that says, have you repented of your sins? We say yes, and have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And we answer that in a very positive way. And so at that point, we begin that relationship with God that we never had before. We had a title or a name, but we never had the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God's Son, Jesus Christ, who is at his right hand in the far north in the third heaven, there appealing for our causes, hoping and wanting the best for each one of us. And so in this, we said yes to the baptism. Yes. That is intended for that commitment to stick like glue and not to turn, to hold fast to that. Well, what goes in the process of it? Let's go and let's find out what God has done on his behalf for us. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Just one verse. And here we are reminded in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, he said, but you have received power after the Holy Spirit is come upon you. And so God didn't just throw us out in the wilderness and says, all right, you're with me. Do it on your own. Because Christ and God knew that we could not do it on our own. All we have to do is look back at the disciples and how they failed and then were back up and then failed. And look what happened once the Holy Spirit was given. How they were able to stand and stand and stand strong in that. So God said, we have received, another scripture said, we received that power from on high. So God was doing his part also. He didn't call us into something and said, you're on your own. He said, I want to be there with you because I want you to be able to walk that path in life to the very end, to this day, brethren, to this day of trumpets. And the Apostle Paul reminded the brethren back in Hebrews. He said, Christ said, I will never leave you. I will never leave you. We accept that as fact, and we believe that, don't we, brethren? He also reminded the brethren that God cannot lie. That's the God that we're committed to. That's the God that God wants us to stick like glue to that and not back off from that, but hold fast to that. Be committed to that. And sure enough, the best glue that we have is God's Holy Spirit. The love of the Father. How many times Christ turns to the people, turn to all of us. He wants people to repent. He said, I desire that all men come to repent. Now, we can think of some that why would God say that? But that shows how God wants all men to come. He wants them so he can give them forgiveness, as he did likewise to us. And so it also was Paul reminded Titus that God promises the hope of eternal life. So he just said, here you are, you're on your own. No, he said, I want you to have that hope of eternal life and not forget it. Hope of eternal life. That again takes us right back. We're on that journey. We're on that walk, brethren, and that walk is going to bring us right to this day, and here we are. Here we are. I remember as a young person, as a boy growing up, there are some things I would rather not remember, but it's there. But I remember in our home, some of the things that our parents, my mom and dad, taught us, 8 children. And one of them was, my mother was good at this. If she heard us or caught us telling a lie or using words that we should not use, she would tell us, she said, now go in the bathroom and bring a bar of soap out. And so I didn't know what was coming. I just said, well, okay. So I brought a bar of soap out. And then Mom said, now take and chew a big chunk out of it and start eating that soap. Maybe it might clean up your mouth. Well, Mom was hoping that would stick like glue and we would not forget that. And so anyway, that was the way that terrible mothers did back then. I'm very grateful for that. Well, look at our parents today teaching our children. They teach them to be kind to one another, brother to brother, to daughters. He said, be kind to one another. Be their helper. Don't be selfish. Share things. Now, why are they saying and working with their children to do that? Because they want that principle to stick like glue and to remember that. And so that in time in their lives, they could pass it on to another generation. I remember times when our son, Glenn Wayne, was growing up, a little 12-year-old in this case, and he had his... good days when he did things pretty good, and he had days when, you know, he stubbed his feet. But I can remember the one time that was so encouraging. I had gone to the conference by myself, my wife, and Glenn Wayne stayed at home. And when I got home, my wife says, "You can't believe Glenn Wayne." He said, "When you left, he just took over." And he said, "Mom, let a man do it." Well, a little bit of chauvinistic there. But he really buckled down and he really took it serious. And that, brethren, is very, very important. So doing things that will stick like glue, that is beneficial. We're here today because it's beneficial. God set this apart for our day to be, for all who have come into the knowledge of the truth, all who have been willing to finally say, "I despise my past, I want something better in that." And so we look around and we see all the problems. And we don't have to go outside of the United States. There's plenty of problems there, but brethren, we have our own house to take care of, United States of America. We don't have time to be wagging our tongue at some other country because we have our own as a nation. And we talk about the problems of the nation. And, you know, what's the greatest problem in the United States? Well, it used to be Russia, and then it was Iran, and then it was Syria, and then China got into the mix. And then global warming, they were running out of items, I guess. And then now we had the wonderful virus. That's the greatest threat to the United States. And you know, in our government, not one of them realized that it was a moral problem. Why are the cities in the United States being burned? It's a moral problem. It's not a global warming. It's a moral problem. It's a problem with the people. It's a problem with the leadership. And if the leadership lead down here, the people will respond down here. But thanks to God, he has called us not to follow that type of leadership. And so some people take the attitude, "Well, I didn't break the law. I didn't break the law." Well, we're in God's church, and we are in this walk. We're walking toward this day. This day. The seventh trump. The seventh trump. The sixth trumpet sounds were not a pretty picture. But brethren, our walk in life is that we will be there when the seventh trump sounds. Be alive or be we in the grave waiting for that seventh trump to sound. And so we know and we're learning what is right and wrong. Others don't want to be bothered with right and wrong, just what is expedient. And what are the important things and the things we should? What are the things? We're here today. Why are we here? Through one means or another of communication, of electronic connections. We're here because we know it's right to be here. It's right to be keeping this day, doing the things that are really offers a benefit to us. Remember Martha and Mary. Christ met them in their home, and in the process of it, of course, it came time for lunch. And so there was Martha out getting the pans out. We know the story. And she was all caught up in that. And she began to think, "Well, Mary, why aren't you out here? Let me do all this work." And Christ just had to tell her. He said, "Martha, Martha, Martha." He said, "Your sister sought the most important things. She is here because she wants to hear the words of God, the words of salvation. She sought the things. You eat the food, and it's in the body, and then it goes out, and it's gone. But she was seeking, Mary is seeking the things that are going to be eternal." Again, we have this day that we're keeping. Now, let's go on. Let's go to the marriage vows. We're walking through life. Now, some in our congregations here, some said marriage is not for me. Well, okay, the Apostle Paul addressed both. those married in the flesh and those who that choose not to be that. And so, fine on their part. But we have to remember, brethren, marriage may not be for us, but in the end, it's going to be for us. If we're going to be there at the seventh trump, when that seventh trump sounds, because something is going to transpire after that seventh trump. And so in the marriage vows, we know the vows we take for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, until death do us part. So it's intended for that. It's intended for a commitment. So here we are, we're going through various stages in life, and those who do not choose to be part of the physical marriage are still preparing for the marriage that's coming, of which we'll be coming into in a little bit. The marriage, we're still preparing for that. And we're going through phases in life that we must maintain and hold fast and not turn and walk away from Christ. Back when I was growing up, and by the way, that doesn't make us back then any more righteous than anything else. But back then, in the 30s and 40s and 50s, especially 30s and 40s up to the 50s, the word divorce, in one sense, was not even in the dictionary, though it was, but in a sense, because it was not discussed. It just isn't something, it's something you didn't do, wasn't part of it. Now, I'm not saying that. Now, we lived around a lot of small towns around us. I'm not talking about Chicago, St. Louis, California. I'm talking about all these towns around us. There was no divorce. There may have been some thinking of, but at least they kept it to themselves. And so it was not discussed in that whatsoever. Then by 1955, now this is going through the late 30s and 40s, up to the 50s. In 1955, in a town of another town where we live close by, there was a divorce. The lady's name was Rose. I won't give you her last name. She decided that she liked another neighbor fellow better than her husband. She was shunned for 2 years. That's what happened back then. That's just the way it was. Because the women in that area knew that what she did was wrong. And so in life, in God's church, we know the difference between right and wrong, and we have to always keep that in our minds to know the difference between right and wrong. Some will say, well, I didn't break the law. Well, maybe they didn't break the law, but I heard the person respond back, but what you did, was that right? No, it was not right. But they said, well, I didn't break the law. And so that lady was shunned for 2 years because the other ladies knew that that was not right. Well, then in time came another divorce, and then another divorce. And then what we have today, brethren, what we have today, Malachi chapter 2. Malachi chapter 2, clear at the end. Yeah, here we go. Just one simple verse 16. For the Lord, the God of Israel, said to Israel, I hate putting away. I hate this thing of you putting away your wife. I hate this thing. And he reminded that of Israel. And what happened to Israel? In one sense, they put God away. They just pushed him aside because it was not important in that. Moving on then over to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, beginning in verse 3. And the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting Christ, and saying unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, Have you not read that he which made them the beginning, he made them male and female? And for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother. So we have the man and the woman. And he said, the man should leave his father and his mother, and he should cleave unto his wife. Stick like glue. Boy, I'm glued to her. She's glued to me. And the two of them respond as one. Wherefore they are no more two, but they are one, because they respond together. They agree together, and they're working together, doing the best to make things work. And brethren, in God's church, we have that glue that God has given that comes down from down on high, God's Holy Spirit. And so as we're walking through life, we have the physical marriage that we're dealing with, and then each one of us, we all have the marriage that is yet to come, that we have to be working toward. And it's an agreement that we've made to God that we will not put you away. God, we will not walk away. We will be committed and continue in it. Let's now move on to the book of John. We're on this walk. John chapter 14. Now here Christ said, beginning in verse 1, he said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let you be afraid. Believe in God, believe also in me. For he said, in my Father's house are many mansions, many offices, many opportunities, many responsibilities, many open jobs that there's a right there, and God said, I'm looking for people to fill those opportunities, to help out. We're working together. This is a teamwork. It's all part of us. He said that many mansions, and he said, if it were not so, I would have told you up at the very front, so you wouldn't have to be worrying about it. But I have many, many offices, many opportunities that I am setting aside one by one for each, yes, and each one of us here, brethren. And he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And so I said to myself when I read this, and Christ said, and I go to prepare a place for you. So I had to ask myself, am I ready to fill that place? Christ said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Am I ready to fill that place? Hopefully we're in the process, like in Matthew, the end of the chapter said, to become you therefore. We're not perfect, but we are to become in it. And then Christ goes on to say, and if I go and prepare a place for you, he said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, that you may be also. What is he talking about? In this sense, brethren, he's talking about this day. I am preparing a place for my people. I have many opportunities here. I need each one of them filled. It takes a lot of different kind of personalities. And he said, and if I go, I'm going to come again. What is the seventh trump all about? It's announcing Christ returning to the Mount of Olives, because he said as he ascended up, he's going to come back to the Mount of Olives. Then he will bring the kingdom to Jerusalem. But he said, I will receive you unto myself. You see, God is not putting us away. God is not giving up on us. We need the glue that sticks like glue, that we don't turn from God, because God is not giving up on us. So we are being prepared for that place that Christ said that he's preparing for us. Now we're talking about commitment, aren't we, brethren? I thought about, well, in the field of sports, I remember back in the 70s, some of you weren't here then, but some of you were. But I remember the St. Louis Cardinals. I sort of liked to watch the St. Louis Cardinals. And the one thing I liked about back then was I got to know some of the players of the St. Louis Cardinals. How many here know the name of a player in the St. Louis Cardinals back then by the name of Uvier? I don't see any hands going up. Yeah, that was one. I remember that name. And boy, every time they played, boy, there he was. That was that name. He was the player. Well, see, I got to know and got to enjoy the team because I got to know the players. But now what happens today? Is there a commitment today? Not really. A team can come along that's a loser team, and they may hire you away from another team, hoping that you're a good player, and they'll start winning in that respect, and so they pay more money. And so there you go to the other team, because it pays more money. Commitment. And back then, if a person left that team, it was like leaving a family member. That's why God wants us to remain committed, to stick like glue in what we have been given. We've been given not physical things, we've been given spiritual, eternal things. It's like we've been reminded, if in this life only we have hope in God, he said, we're a miserable person. Well, what's after, don't we believe in something after this physical life? If in this life only, we're a most miserable person. Again, back in Malachi, God said, I hate putting away. I hate that idea. He said, it's not pleasant, it's not good. Now we go to another one in life. We're walking through life, and in our lives, brethren, we are here because it's also the Sabbath day. So we have a double high day, a double blessing. Not just the seventh trump sounding, but the Sabbath day. And God said there, let's go to Exodus chapter 31. You know what it's going to say anyway, but we'll read it. Beginning in verse 12. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto also to the children of Israel, saying, truly my Sabbath you shall keep. I want you to keep the Sabbath, and where there is a reason for keeping the Sabbath, he said, because it is a sign between me and you. That's a special thing. He said, that's the sign. He said, when I see you keeping the Sabbath, he said, boy, there's my people. There they are. And he can look down, brethren, and can see us in this room, in these rooms, and he said, there are my people. There they are. They're keeping the trumpets and they're keeping the Sabbath also. Double high day. This is between me and my people. And so we go through baptism. We go through marriage. We go through the Sabbath day. And we're in our walk in life. And then we're saying, am I sticking like glue? Am I holding fast to the things that I have been taught? Now we'll move back over to the book of Romans. It got to turn my pages a little. I have my old Bible because the printing is a little larger and it's a little easier in that sense to read. It's not that my eyesight is getting worse, it's just it's a little easier to read. So anyway, Romans chapter 8 and beginning in verse 8. And so they that are in the flesh cannot please God. The apostle Paul, you can't please God in the flesh, for you're not in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit, if so that the Spirit of God dwells in you. So he said, have courage, brethren. We're no longer in the flesh. We're in the Spirit. For the Spirit, when Pentecost, the receiving of God's Holy Spirit. He said, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. So it's very, very, very important. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So how important, how important. And it reminds us back in Genesis where God speaking to Adam, he said, now you, again, you leave your father and your mother and you cleave unto your wife. You put your arms around her and boy, you hold on and don't let go. Take this till death do us part. Take this until death do us part. Brethren, we're still in here. The end of the trail, we haven't come yet. And so we're still in the walk. We still are moving in that direction, hopefully, until death do us part. Then after that, if we die in the faith, then we have part of that resurrection. And so we know when that seventh trump sounds, that there will be that marriage of the Lamb. Paul reminded the brethren there in Ephesus. He reminded them. He said, wives, submit to your husband. But he said, husbands, remember, you're to love your wives. You don't lord it over her. You're not there to put her down. You're not to remind her who's the boss. You show by example. You show by example. You're not there to put her down. She has a mind and a heart, and God is working with her. She's part of this. So do your part. Do your part. Now let's go back. We've been in the book of Revelation, but let's go back to the book of Revelation. How about chapter 19? Revelation chapter 19. But to begin with... Remember how it all started? In Genesis chapter 1, it says, in beginning, God. In beginning, God. And it reminds us of it again in John chapter 1. In beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so he was in beginning, God. In beginning. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 6. And it said, and I heard as it were a voice of a great multitude. And we heard part of this already in the sermonette this morning from Mr. Cordio, reminding us of the joy of this time. A great multitude, and as the voice of many waters and a voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia! For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Raise our voices up. Give thanks to God. Give praise to God. For the Lord God remains. the day of the seventh trump has sounded, and Christ returns. So let us be glad and rejoice. Christ teaching John. Write it down, John. Write it down. It needs to be written down. So our generation today right here can read what has been written down. And he said, and give honor. Be glad and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. The marriage, there is a marriage yet to come, isn't there, brethren? I've often thought, in that time when that marriage of the Lamb comes, because his wife has made herself ready, I've often wondered, will Christ have, will he turn water into wine again? So we'll have the best wine? I don't know, we'll wait. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens in that. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. If you come in black linen, you won't be there. You won't even be there. You'll be on the outside looking in. So you see, proper apparel, proper attire, proper clothing is very important to God. And he said, those who follow him, they will come in fine, clean, white linen. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saint. It defines the saints. You see them in this white linen, and they said, there walks righteousness, because they are attired in that. And he said unto me, write these, John, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Blessed are they. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Now let's go back to in beginning. In beginning God. And let's bring us all the way through. We're on this walk, brethren. We're on this walk together. Let's bring us all the way to chapter 19 when he said, and his wife has made herself ready. We walked all the way through. A lot of time there. Several thousands of years, all the way through. And he said, his wife has made herself ready. What does this tell about God? Among many other things, what does this tell us about God? Because we began in beginning, and here we are almost to the end of Revelation. It tells us that God is very, very patient. Brethren, God is very patient. I have to look at myself and say, God is very patient. He took all that time. Now you might say, well, now why put it in the book, the 19th chapter? Why not put, and his wife has made herself ready, in chapter 22 in the last verse? Well, there's a reason that God put it back in 19, because there's a lot of things to take place, chapter 20, 21, and 22, putting Satan away, restoring all things. And God said, you know, I prepare a place for you because I have a position here. We're going to work together because there's the restitution. We're going to restore all things. We're not going to repair the broken down. No, we're going to, all things new. All things new. So there's a reason why God chose chapter 19 rather than chapter 22. First of all, he said his wife has made herself ready. So his wife, he has to know she has made herself ready. And then he has these positions, these opportunities, these offices available. And he begins then pass them out to each one, to which one it belongs to, or who is fits into that. So he had to know that his wife was ready. And at this point, she was ready. He said, now the church, my people, now we have a lot of things to get done. We have to put Satan away. We have to start restoring the world, the land. We have to start restoring government, replacing the failing governments on the earth. And he said, oh, I know, they've been 5,000 plus years. And they say, well, God, if you just gave us another 200 years. No, he said, you've had you over 5,000. That's it. I've had enough. The kingdom is going to come. And so his wife has made herself ready. So she is there to be helping Jesus Christ carry out his plan, his purpose, his instructions, his details in chapter 20, 21, and 22. So there's a reason why this came in chapter 19. Because God said, then I know. Now I know. Now I know. Now I know. And so here it is. And later, and also earlier in Revelation, where Christ tells John to write it down, and he said, and the angel sounded on the seventh trump. The angel sounded on the seventh trump. And in that, it is announced that his church, his bride, is ready to rule with him forever and ever and ever. And so now this takes us, brethren, right back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And here the Apostle Paul is reminded the brethren. He said, behold, I show you a mystery. Now, we heard in the sermonette that the shadow of things to come, but he said this day, as with other special days of God, are a reality. They're not a shadow. They will not be a shadow any longer. Today, God said, is going to become a reality for my people. In verse 51, he said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. When Christ returns, there'll be some in the faith, those who have died in the faith, but some in the faith will be standing right there alive. He said, we shall not all sleep, but when Christ comes, we shall all be changed. There will be that change. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, not the first six, but the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. The transformation, brethren, that we're going through to arrive, to reach at that point in our lives as we walk through our journey in life. And that journey brings us to this very day. And this is the day we're looking forward to. When the bride has, she's made herself ready, and the Lamb is ready to receive her because she has made herself ready. And so we come to this day, brethren, where Christ said there in John, I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself, because my wife, the bride, not my wife yet, but my bride, has made herself ready.